Well, good morning again. If you take your Bible, please, to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22. In 1 Kings chapter 22, we find 2 Kings sitting, talking together. And on kings, on the king level, they're equal. But in terms of their person, their character, who they are, there is no common ground. So I want to look this morning at the topic of bad good friends. Bad good friends. In both senses of the word. We can be a good friend that is a bad friend, and we can have someone that is a good friend, but they are a bad influence. We refer to them as a good friend, but good is not what comes of our time with them. 1 Kings chapter 22, just read the beginning of the passage. From verse 1, and they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the 3rd year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still. We're not doing anything about it. And take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art. My people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle? Or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, and the king of Israel, they're just talking. It's like they're sitting around after a barbecue with a bowl of nuts. Or it's just the leftovers and they're just picking at it over the next few hours. You know, they're just whiling the time away. Remember that car I had? Yeah, I'm going to sell it. You know, it's just not mindless, but not mindful conversation, you know. They're just talking. Yeah, I was going to build that shed. Oh, remember that guy down the road I was telling you about? Oh, you know Ramoth Gilead? That's ours. Let's go get it. You know, it's just chatting. And then ownership of, I know we're not kings, so we don't talk on that level. We talk on the shed or the guy down the road level. But it's still just chatter. You know, I own that, but Syria's got it at the moment. Yep. Should we go get it? We're experts at talking on that level, aren't we? On the level of just meaningless conversation. It's not helpful to anyone, especially if it ends up in a getting yourself in a war. The problem was here that this king of Israel, who in our passage so far, and I think I've only referred to him as that, the problem is who he is. He's a bad sort. It's Ahab. Ahab and Queen Jezebel. And they've ruled wickedly for 21 years so far. Their reign over Israel has been long, has been ungodly. It's been a terrible reign. And Jehoshaphat isn't new to his throne. He's been 17 years on his throne. So it's not like he doesn't know what the other guys... That was Jehoshaphat, wasn't it? He's the one that... So this guy has been king for 17 years. He's been king for 21 years. When he started, he already knew this guy's been going, 4 years. And this is his track record so far. And here he is 17 years later, still catching up with him every now and again. And we've got friends like that too. People in our circle that we don't see every day, but they're still in our circle that are not a good influence on us. And we've known that for a long time and we do nothing about it. We're being a bad good friend to them because we're not doing anything to help them change, exhort them to change. And they're being a bad good friend to us in that their influence on us is greater than our influence on them. So with that thought to begin with, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would take this passage and Lord, use it to be insightful into areas of our life that perhaps we struggle with. Help us, Lord, to be the kind of influence in the lives of those around us that you would have us to be, for your glory, for Christ's sake, and for the souls of those we come in contact with, we pray. Work in our hearts this morning. Lord, I pray that if anyone here knows not Christ as Saviour this morning, Lord, work in their heart, that even this day they would call on Christ for salvation, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. If just catching up for a chat every now and again wasn't bad enough, Jehoshaphat's daughter son marries Ahab's daughter. The next queen of Judah is a daughter of Jezebel, queen of Israel. And as I said, they're not just neighbours that recognise the car as it's coming down the street and wave. Can't quite see because of the glare of that husband or wife, but that's one of the neighbours. Don't know their name, but it's not that kind of, I know them, but I don't know them. Because of Jehoshaphat's association with Ahab and refusal to stay away. Yes, when you're king, it's good to have good neighbours, like friendly, be on friendly terms with the neighbours. But Ahab wasn't going to be a good influence and wasn't a good influence through his daughter for the next king after Jehoshaphat of Judah. You know Athaliah? In the kings of Judah, there comes an Athaliah who's not a king, who's a queen, who's taken advantage of the situation and killed everyone that should have been king. This is about her dad. He's a piece of work too. Mum is too. If you can get anything on Pastor Hester preaching on Jezebel, get it. Audio, book, anything, it's the best exhortation. And comedy, quite frankly. He's great on speaking on against Jezebel. So let's remind ourselves this morning on the importance of good friends and signs to watch out for. Firstly, here this morning, Ahab didn't value God's direction. Look again in verse 6. The king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, "Shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear?" And they said, "Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king." And Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him?" And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, "There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil." If all you know of Ahab is what I've mentioned of him now, yes, it sounds like I'm speaking ill of somebody, but he is that. Is it a coincidence that this prophet isn't prophesying good concerning him, but only evil, as it says here? And Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so." There's a reason this guy prophesies evil concerning Ahab, because Ahab is evil. In the chapter before this, he kills a guy because he wants his vineyard to grow vegetables in. And the guy wouldn't give it, so he kills him. I don't know if you've got neighbours like that. I don't. Amen. Now, it was in verse 5 that Jehoshaphat asked Ahab to consult the prophets. It's not too late. They haven't set out. But already Ahab is rubbing off on him, because by the time they consult the prophets in verse 6, Jehoshaphat has already promised him his people, his army, his military weapons, which in those, you know, his military resources, horses. He's already promised them that. I am as thou art. My people, just consider them your people. Send them where you want. My horses, enlist as many as you need. Let's now consult the prophets. Ahab's already rubbing off on Jehoshaphat. Ahab didn't value God's direction. Now, Jehoshaphat is a good king. He's in the good king column in your study Bible for kings of Judah. He did do a good job, but he's not doing a good job today. Like you, like me, he didn't always do the right thing. Hopefully, unlike you and I, Ahab never did the right thing. And that's who this man's spending time with. And that's why he's having problems today, because of who he's with. Jehoshaphat, for some reason, the 400 prophets speak. I assume not one after another. I assume through a spokesperson or two. But something about the way they spoke indicated to Jehoshaphat, hang on, Through weight of numbers, this is impressive. But these guys are not prophets of the Lord. He picked it up somehow that these guys are not prophets of God. And so he asks for a second opinion, essentially. Though they have said, the Lord will deliver you, he recognizes that these guys seem to be false prophets. And they call Micaiah, the one that Ahab hates. Look at verse 17. Micaiah said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. He prophesies defeat. Verse 29. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat the king went up to Ramoth Gilead. Ahab is not interested at all. He does not value one iota what God wants to do. And it rubs off on Jehoshaphat. He's asked, okay, you've got the 400. Have you got anyone that's a prophet of the Lord? Yes, Micaiah. Okay, let's wait and we'll hear from him. He says, it's not going to end well. And then they go up to battle. They were warned. The reality is that many people don't want to go God's way. That's the reality. The Bible tells us in terms of salvation that broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many, it's not just broad, many there be on it. Not just a big road with no one on. It's broad and it's packed. And that's in terms of salvation. But then, separate to that, just people that care about what God wants for them to do after salvation. Ahab didn't care less. Christian, you can't make those around you do right. But it's your choice whether you do what God wants you to do or not. That's your choice. And sometimes the people we spend time with, we hang around with, we socialize with, their distinct lack of desire for God's direction rubs off on us like it is here on Jehoshaphat. We can choose more carefully who we spend time with. I've already spoken of who he chooses, I assume with the son, for his daughter-in-law. Obviously, there's some kind of alliance. It's not just she was the best one, because we see she wasn't a very good one. But Athaliah is chosen. That son was 13 when Jehoshaphat started to reign. There's no hurry when you're 13 to pick a bride. Plenty of time to see what Ahab is like, what Jezebel is like. She gave great examples of what she was like. And what Athaliah is like. And yet they still, that's who he's going to marry. He he set up the next one with a very bad friend. Keep your place in 1 Kings and go with me to Proverbs 27. Ahab didn't value God's direction. For each of these points, I'm going to seek to get some wisdom from Proverbs that is relevant to each of these points. So if your hands are feeling nimble this morning, you can keep a place in Proverbs and keep a place in 1 Kings. Proverbs 27, verse 9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, unless they're all in the one room as you enter Maya or David Jones and you're not female. Sorry, that's a generalization, but I remember fear and trepidation when Mum said, oh, we're going into, well, then it was Grace Brothers, but Maya, and just walk, oh, hated that. Ointment and perfume do, though, I understand now as an adult, rejoice the heart. And so doth the sweetness of a man's friend. Why? Just by spending time? Just by being together? Just picking at the leftovers and talking about just nothing? No. By hearty counsel. Yes, it's the fact that it's your friend, but it's what we're talking about that rejoices the heart. It's the counsel, the advice. I can depend on this guy to tell me when I'm out of line. Good friends touch our heart. And bad ones do too, but not for good. We use loosely, they're my good friend. This is my good friend. Can I introduce you? But we use that term so flippantly. A good friend. Many of us have long-term friends. Really, that's what we mean. This is someone I grew up with. This is someone I've known for years. This is someone I studied together with when we were 20. This is a family friend. And yeah, we've known them for ages. But just because we've known someone for so long does not mean that we should be spending time with them. Does it matter that we went to school together? Not really. I should be, as a Christian, seeking God's direction in my life. Are they? Just because my mum knew this person and they're a family friend. We have people in our circles that if we're not influencing for Christ, are more likely influencing us negatively. And Christian, may I exhort you this morning? Who are your friends? And what influence do they have in your life? Some good friends are bad friends. Let's be blunt about it this morning. And parents, there's some friends of yours whose children come along too. And might be a bad influence on your kids. We need to put a question mark then on how much and how we spend time with that person. Maybe you're influencing them for Christ, and that's great. But what are the kids doing while you're witnessing? Maybe you need to look for a different opportunity to spend time together where the kids aren't there. Get them saved first, the parents, and then work down. See where we're going with this? Ahab didn't value God's direction. Secondly, Ahab in verse 8 didn't want to hear good. Ahab wanted to hear good, not truth. Back in 1 Kings, chapter 22 and verse 8. Halfway through there again. But I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. Ahab wanted to hear good, not truth. Look in verse 18. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, this is after Micaiah has spoken now, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me, but evil? Now Ahab's a prophet. He's predicting what the prophet's going to say. And lo and behold, he's right because the prophet's right. A prophet's job was not to tell the king good stuff. You get a nanny for that. Sit by the bed and tell nice stories, and now you relax, king, now you can go to sleep, you big baby. And if you live like Ahab did, there's not much good I can say to you in terms of truth. I can say, I'm glad to see you. I am. But if you're living like Ahab, I can't compliment your life and the choices you're making in your life. You see? And Ahab didn't deserve that either. He deserved truth. We all deserve truth. But Ahab didn't want to hear truth. And he didn't actually ask Micaiah to prophesy truth anyway. Good anyway. He just said, well, Micaiah will come and tell you, Jehoshaphat, what God wants. There's absolutely no point to a friendship where truth can't be discussed. I understand that a nice hug's a nice hug, but you can get that from someone that will also tell you truth. We all need improvement. Ahab and his household, though, needed more than just improvement. And there is nothing good about a good friend that will only say good things. It's a lie. And some of us have friends that are doing things that are completely unbiblical. And what have we said to them about it? Oh, but we'll offend them. Well, so what are we going to tell them? Lies? So that they're not offended? Look in Proverbs 17. We don't ever exhort. We don't ever counsel our friends. Why? I don't know how they'll take it. So you're happy to remain a bad friend rather than become a good friend. Is that what you're saying? Because a bad friend doesn't offer counsel, doesn't speak truth. Only a good friend speaks truth. Proverbs 17, verse 17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. This verse is not contrasting a friend and a brother. The friend's love is not silence, and the brother isn't providing the adversity. Though all of us can understand that at times siblings do provide adversity. That's not what this verse is saying, though. The brother, the friend, is there for us in advance. They're there for us before the adversity, and they'll be there with us in the adversity, and they'll be there with us afterwards. They're a true friend. They love at all times. Even when we're down, they love us. Even when they're telling things we don't want to hear, they're loving us. Micaiah actually didn't hate Ahab. He loved him enough to tell him truth when he knew what would be the consequences to himself. That's love. That's friendship. And that leads us into our third point. Ahab punished honesty. Back in 1 Kings chapter 22. Verse 26 now. First Kings 22:26. And the king of Israel said, "Take Micaiah and carry him back unto Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in the prison and feed him." Oh, that's good. "With bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace." Now, Micaiah correctly responds to that, "If you come in peace, I'm a false prophet." There he is again, prophesying evil against poor little Ahab. When we're around people that we've called friends, they're not going to imprison us. If you tell them the truth, if you're genuine enough to tell them what they need to hear, what are they going to do to you? Lock you up. Bread of affliction. Some of us would like to have that just so we can find out what is water of affliction. The mind boggles. They're not going to lock us up. But some of us hang around people who what they say about others isn't uplifting. When we're not with them, what are they saying about us? We know they're big talkers, liars, rumor mongers or whatever. We've heard what they've said about other people and how they act towards the truth and those speaking the truth. And we still choose to spend time around such people. Not every day, but at times. You know, it's not normal. Let's look in Proverbs 27. It's not normal for true friends to lie, to deceive, to manipulate. And yet, we're all... We might not have somebody that we would say is a friend, but we know people that are like that. They just can't handle the truth to the point that they don't even speak it. Proverbs 27, we read 9 before, but look in verse 6 now. In the transgression... Sorry, 20... That's... doing that this morning, aren't I? Life Sages class. 27 verse 6. That's a great verse too, but better stay on topic. 27 verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Some of us have encountered people that we hang around with. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's people we actually socialize with. But they're liars. They're deceiving or manipulating situations. And those type of people, if they're amongst your friends, what does this say? What does wisdom of God's word say about that situation? A friend who says the truth we're offended with, but we'll sit at a table with somebody that'll be manipulating situations and lying to our face. That's twisted. We want friends who will embrace the truth and will give us truth. And finally, Ahab, point four, was not loyal. Back in 1 Kings 22. Ahab was not loyal. Now, you and I see this coming. Even those of you that don't know this passage, know it's not setting up to be one that's going to end well. He might come out of this, but it's not going well for him. The guy he's with, you can see. He should be walking out the door. And not with Ahab beside him. And yet, we hang around with people that maybe it's at work, maybe it's not. Maybe it's in places where we have a choice who we're hanging around with. Verse 30. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, after sending Micaiah back to jail, I will disguise myself and enter into the battle, but put thou on thy robes. That's a good idea. And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into the battle. But the king of Syria commanded his 32 captains that they that had rule over his chariot, saying, fight neither with small nor great, save only with the king of Israel. Whether that guy knew, whether Ben-Hadad knew that Jehoshaphat was also there or not, it doesn't say. But his instructions were, get Ahab. Run past everybody else, get Ahab. Leave the rest to everybody else. Your job, kill Ahab. And Ahab's not wearing his robes. What a cheat. Come to battle with me. Let's go get my city back. But I'm going to be in disguise. And they'll, from a distance, see you as king, and they'll attack you, and I'll get through this, and then Micaiah will be a false prophet. Because I outwitted God. It doesn't matter what other benefits you get from a relationship. When there is this kind of, well, not even on this level, when there is disloyalty, those other benefits in that relationship, in that friendship, they don't really stand for anything. I remember hearing someone once ask a third friend of ours to cover up for his behavior and lie. This one was to lie about what he had done so he wouldn't get in trouble. He didn't want to do it, partly because of who he would have had to lie to cover it up. And the one who was in the wrong said, come on, you know I would take a bullet for you. This guy was under the pump. I remember thinking, if you would take a bullet for him, take it for your own misdeeds. I remember just being shocked at this conversation. You did the wrong. You're the one that's going to get in trouble if he doesn't lie. So take the bullet now for him and don't make him lie. People do all sorts of things to get out of and ask friends to... That is, it's disloyal. That's the word. It is not loyalty to say, take somebody's consequences for them. It is not loyalty to cover up for somebody. It is not loyalty to try and lessen the consequences that they're going to get for their sin. Whether they're saved or unsaved, it is no testimony to cover up for somebody else or try and... That's not loyalty. A brother is there, a friend is there at all times. We're there to help them face the consequences, and we're there to help pick up the pieces after the consequences. We're not there to lessen the consequences. Hold their hand while they get the consequences if they need it. But a friend loveth at all times and will support in adversity. Go with me to Proverbs one more time. Proverbs 18. It's not our role to get embroiled in a friend's problems. We can help them by all means. Proverbs 18. And verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. If you want friends, you need to be willing to be friendly to people. If you have friends, you need to be friendly to them. But what kind of friend are you? What kind of friend are they to you? A bad good friend, or are you going to be a good friend? Let's go back to 1 Kings. You know why this battle? Why Gilead? He's going after Gilead. Let's go back two chapters. 1 Kings chapter 20 this time. Just in closing. Ben-Hadad and Syria had been to war 3 years earlier to our main passage with Ahab and Israel. And despite Ahab's wickedness, God punished the Syrians through the Israelite army. Look in verse 29. 1 Kings 20:29, and they pitched one over against the other 7 days. And so it was that in the seventh day the battle was joined, and the children of Israel slew of the Syrians 100,000 footmen in one day. Israel smashed Syria. Ben-Hadad escaped the battlefield by the skin of his teeth, hid in a cave, I think it was, and they brought him to Ahab. Look at verse 34. And Ben-Hadad said unto him, the cities which my father took from thy father, I will restore. And thou shalt make streets for thee in Damascus, that's the Syrian capital, as my father made in Samaria, that's Ahab's capital. Then said Ahab, I will send thee away with this covenant. What covenant? You give me the cities, you get your life. And over the next 3 years, Ben-Hadad didn't pay up in full. Gilead, he hung on to. I don't know why. Doesn't matter why. That's why Jehoshaphat and Ahab, sitting around talking about stuff, suddenly discuss going to war for Gilead. Because he didn't pay up. Still in chapter 20. Look what God said about that covenant in verse 42. That agreement that Ben-Hadad walks free if he gives these cities back. And the prophet, this is another prophet, comes to Ahab. Thus saith the Lord, because thou hast let go out of thy hand a man who I appointed unto utter destruction, therefore thy life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people. That's why he didn't wear his robes to battle in chapter 22. Because God's told him through a prophet, you're a dead man. You should have killed Ben-Hadad. That's the level of disloyalty Ahab's just shown. It's not just that he thought, by chance I might get killed. No, God has told him, you're going to die in place of him. And what better place for that to come true than in battle with him again? He knows his number's up if he goes in his robes. As despicable as that is, as repulsive as that is, Jehoshaphat didn't see it. What are we missing in the relationships with the people we spend time with? What are we missing? You and I might have held on to a friendship that we should have let go long ago. And I hope this kind of behavior here is way beyond what's going on in that relationship. But you know that that relationship is not helping you spiritually. You're not influencing them for Christ. They're influencing you. Have you got friends going the wrong way? What are you doing about it? A true friend won't just walk beside them and be a friend and just be there. Say something. If they're saved, then they're not being a good friend to you by going against what God would have for them. And if you're not doing, not saying anything, then you're being a bad friend to them. In closing, Jesus Christ was referred to in one of the Proverbs we mentioned. He's referred to prophetically. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friend. Now that's something to aspire to in our own friendships. But that's talking about Christ and what he's done for you. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian yet. Christ is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. What he's done for you is greater than any person has ever done for you. I don't care how many friends and how good those friends truly are to you. Greater love, the Bible says, hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's what Christ has done for you, my friend. Each of these things that Ahab did, each of these signs of his bad friendship, I guess we could say, are all inverted in Christ. Ahab didn't value God's direction. But Christ himself said, no man comes to the Father but by me. That's God's direction. That's God's desire for you if you're without Christ. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all, including you, should come to repentance. Ahab didn't value God's direction and was a bad influence to Jehoshaphat in that sense. But that's inverted for you, in your favor, from God. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Ahab didn't want the truth, he just wanted good news. And all have sinned. It's not good news. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That isn't good news if you're without Christ, but it is the truth. It's the truth of God's word. Ahab punished honesty, and mankind typically rejects God and his offer. And yet the Bible says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt, despite your sin, thou shalt be saved. That is the truth of God's word. There's nothing more honest I could tell you if you're without Christ than that can be true for you. Ahab was not loyal, and yet, as we've already said, greater love has no man than this, that a man, Christ, lay down his life for his friend. Are you without Christ this morning? Can I introduce you to Jesus Christ this day? Or can one of us have that privilege? Take God's word and show you what it means to be a Christian. Because Jesus Christ is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There are good friends. And there are bad, good friends. Let me encourage you to think about that. What kind of influence are you in your friendships? What kind of influence have they in your life? And what are you going to do about it? Let's bow for prayer.